SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two, couple minutes in past the top of the hour. Johnny D of Express Bet, who obviously had tabbed the try. And in fact, those of you listening to the replay from Friday, which aired this morning, 6 to 9, would have heard Johnny really in the last 45 minutes of the show lay out the Justify Good Magic Audible trifecta, and did it in print as well. And we say good morning, and how'd you make out, Johnny D?
Stevie, I didn't do as well as I should have. I did okay, but Will and I missed the superfecta. We didn't have instilled regard. My bomber was Lone Sailor. And I think he ran a creditable race. I didn't feel cheated at all. He had a little trouble, but he got through. After that, he finished well. He ran a good race, beat more than half the field. So I was kind of happy. I think he finished eighth, maybe. I was happy with his performance as a bomber at a big price. And still regard Jerry Hollendorf. The Dorf got me again. He's got me 2 years in a row now. And you know, there were real reasons. You know, Sid Fernando, hats off to him for tabbing on your show and still regard as a bomber. There were reasons to, you know, when you get into these bombers, you really have to dig. It's not going to be on the surface. You know, for example, and still regard is a great example of that. At one point in the prep season, he was one of the ones. I mean, he finished, we can look back, he was the sandwich, wasn't he the sandwich in between McKenzie and Solomini?
Mm-hmm.
In the famous disqualification at Los Alamitos, he was in the middle of the sandwich. He came back, he won a stakes race. He had vaulted up near the top of the list. Then he slid a little bit. Nothing terrible happened. He kind of went off. He fell from the radar for sure. And then in the Santa Anita Derby, immediately after the race, Jerry Hollendorfer made a comment about how, made kind of a snippy remark to a reporter about how do you expect him to run against that kind of pace or in that kind of race, which kind of suggested that with more pace, he would be more effective. Now, I'm not sitting here redboarding saying that you should have had instilled regard in the super. I didn't. But I'm just trying to illustrate how, for the future, players can look for these kinds of horses who maybe showed some ability and just never got there. Maybe things were against them, the pace of a certain race, but they showed they have ability. And that's kind of, you know, and listening to people like Sid Fernando, when, you know, when certain people talk, you listen. And the fact that, look, here's a Hall of Fame trainer who's in the race. Why is he in the race? He doesn't need to be in this race. Well, maybe the owner wanted to be there. I guess you could say that, but you know, still, Jerry has enough clout to say, no, we're not going. Also, and I think this is a future note, I like to see what I can take out of these races. Once they're over, they're over. You know, were your opinion? How many of your opinions were correct? How many of your opinions were incorrect? How many of your opinions may have been correct but turned out to be incorrect because of extenuating circumstances? So I like to use this race to go forward. And I'll tell you one thing that we, I think, as handicappers should take out of this race. And I know people in Southern California who watch races intently, you already know this. Drayden Van Dyke is going to be one of the ones. He has got a calmness beyond his years in the saddle. He comes from the correct the correct tree. In other words, he comes from Tom Proctor, I think, deserves a credit for getting him kind of rolling. And then he was taken under the wings of Mike Smith and Gary Stevens. And here's the key factor. And a couple of years ago when I was in California, I asked some of the people there that I know who would know the answer, does the kid listen? Because young riders are often taken under the wings of older riders. It's something very unusual about the sport, that while these guys are competitors, they're also friends. They're also in there. They dress next to each other. I mean, you've just battled tooth and nail with this guy. You've competed all out. And he's just hung a nose on you in a $200,000 race, and maybe he's taken advantage of you at some point in that race and given you a shove or forced you into a bad spot and on purpose and just beat you a nose, and you've got to wash your face off standing next to him for the next race. It's a very unusual situation in professional sports. I understand how golfers could do it because they really don't affect each other while the competition is in action. And tennis players, unless you're playing the guy directly, you're not really, you're not right next to him. So it's an unusual situation. Great riders will take younger guys under their wings, but the key is, do the younger guys listen? This young man, it was reported to me when I asked, does he listen? The word was yes. And I think that's helped him a great deal to move forward quickly. Keep an eye on this kid. I know we got a lot of Derby horses to talk about, but he really has impressed me, not just me, but many people in Southern California. He's got something, and don't be afraid to wager on him. And I don't think it's public knowledge yet, by the way. We're ahead of the curve. Anyway, what do you want to talk about, Steve? How I did? Well, I missed the super, had to try, obviously. Not as many times as I should have. What I did was I gambled poorly. I wagered poorly. I handicapped pretty well, very well. Wagered poorly, and we often talk. It's a theme, a continuing theme in your show about they are two distinct animals. They are separate. There's the handicapping and there's the wagering. And in this case, while I did one well, I didn't do so well with the other one. I had instilled regard on some of my tickets, but they were trifecta tickets. I thought enough of them to kind of toss him in. In addition to what I had, my original ticket, I tossed him in as, and they're in the post parade. And I said to Will, as they're in the post parade, I said, this in still regard, he's way too big a price. He was a monster price. I said, he's way too big a price. Anyway, so you do those things, the handicapping and the wagering are separate. And I didn't wager very well. I did a couple of unusual things and actually made some money with them. In other words, on Thursday, I heard that I could get, I think it was 6-1 on Justify to win. And that was on the first, on May 1st. So that would have been, I don't know, Monday, Tuesday. So I took that 6-1 on Justify. I thought that was a really great price. And then I made some head-to-head horse wagers, which are kind of fun, you know. And I made four of those, and I won them all. So again, I think my handicapping was right on, but my wagering was not the greatest. I should have put more money into the trifecta. Should have thrown in Stillergard into the superfecta. But I had a double, had a nice double, Oaks Derby double. That, you know, so I hit some things. I did okay, but I didn't hit anything out of the park. It was like a double in the gap, you know, with the bases empty.
Yeah, I understand.
So, my horse head-to-heads were My Boy Jack over Mendelssohn. That was +165. Hofburg over Mendelssohn, because I was against Mendelssohn. I think I talked Friday about using him defensively, but I was against him. I thought it was just asking too much. Granted, he got slouched coming out of the gate from that 14 hole with that gap in between the 14 and 15. Everybody likes that gap, but those outside horses, they come right over. And if you don't leave a little bit ahead of the group, you're gonna get mashed. And he got mashed. Then he got mashed down the backside, but I think the cat was already out of the bag at that point.
Yeah,
so I had Jack against Mendelssohn. I had Hofburg against Mendelssohn. I had Jack against Magnum Moon, and I had Lone Sailor over Combatant. And they were all plus wagers, anywhere from 30 to +165. So, you know, I thought they were all good value plays. So in that respect, I wagered well. But when it came to constructing my tickets, I had the superfecta, but I didn't have it in, you know. And this whole thing about the favorites running well, I'd like to figure out what that's all about. But that's the other thing. Good Magic wasn't really a favorite. He was another step, audible second, another two steps, audible second. I understand that. But they're all single-digit horses, and then your Bomber was fourth. I think we need to kind of figure out what's going on now, whether it's whether we're just better handicappers now, or are these things going trends? It's just the way it's been. Whether it's the Derby points, I don't know. And I'm not sure we can figure it out. But it's an interesting thing that we're in now. Now we're going to face next year seven Derby winners, seven consecutive Derby favorites. And I don't know if that's ever happened in the history. So I guess also we could say that Justify turned out the lights, or at least dimmed the lights. That's another important point. He dimmed the lights on a bunch of trends and a bunch of old trends that have lasted almost as long as since they've been putting horses in a gate and betting on who was the fastest. He shattered a couple of really, and I outlined all those trends in my Express Bet column, or many of them in my Express Bet column, you know, and I think what I'm going to do in the future is, okay, this is a very special horse. I mean, this is a, I mean, really, take a deep breath and realize what we're watching here. This is an incredibly special animal. And we're coming on the heels of American Pharoah, who was outstanding, and getting to see Arrogate, particularly that Dubai race, or the performance at Saratoga in the Travers, watching this horse and what the Justify has done in the short amount of time allotted to him to get ready for the Kentucky Derby. Is it strange that those three horses I just mentioned are trained by the same white-haired gentleman? It's not an accident. It really isn't. I mean, yes, does he get his hands on number one, first-round draft choices? A great number of first-round draft choices? Yes. But, you know, it's like giving Bill Belichick 10 first-round picks every year. You know, he's going to win a lot of Super Bowls. You know, he does it now with less than that. To appreciate this horse and what he's done, I mean, if you've been around the game a while, I know horses are running less often now, less starts before the Derby. I understand all that. But this guy, in addition to doing that, he's also done something else. He's also redefined what you can do in a short amount of time, an incredibly short amount of time. For example, I saw John Avello on a handicapping show, and he was talking about he had a customer wanted to bet this horse. The horse hadn't started yet. It was February. Wanted to bet on this horse to win the Kentucky Derby. And he said, yeah, I'll give you 300 to one. It was justified. So, you know, but hey, if you'd ask me, I've got a horse I'm going to start in February and I want to bet on the Kentucky Derby. Will you give me 300 to one? The fact that the trainer's Baffert, I might wait a minute, but I'd probably give you 300 to one. It hasn't happened before. Will it happen again? I don't think. I mean, that's my point. I'm trying to make my point in a very roundabout way. This is a special, incredibly special animal. And we are being treated to something right now. So all of the knocks, or not knocks, but all of the diminishing comments about what he did at Santa Anita at one track against limited foes, all of those, that's all out the window now. You know, it's scoreboard. You know, you are now feel free to appreciate his wonderfulness. I had a thought in my mind as I was watching the odds, you know, I could go on all day. You're gonna have to shut me up, but just pull the plug out. Just hang up on me. Tell Casey to just hang up on me and I'll keep talking. When they post the odds and you see, and I saw the early odds 7-2 on the Justify and then 3-1. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I bet when this race is over, we look back someday. You know how you look in the past performances and you look and you see 3-1 or 5-2 on a horse and say, man, we'll never see that again. This is one of those cases where, you know, where a short price is extreme value. and the idea, and we talked about this Friday, the idea that if he breaks in the Kentucky Derby and gets out of there the way he probably will, or unless he doesn't break, if he breaks, he's not going to know there are 20 horses in the field. He's only going to know there's one other one in the field. And I guess he knew Good Magic was in there, because Good Magic threw some haymakers at him. Similar to how Volta Oro took two runs at Justify in the Santa Anita Derby. Good Magic gave him everything he had. He hit him with his best punch, and Justify turned around and looked at him and said, that's all you got? And just left him. Good Magic, you know, I don't think the mile and a quarter was a friend to him exactly. And certainly, as we said, in a couple more strides, Audible's going to catch him for second. But Audible wasn't catching Justify, that much for sure. And as far as the, you know, we talked about this being a deep field. I don't think that talk was incorrect at all. Looking back, using, you know, the hindsight as 20/20 vision. I don't think that people who said that this was a deep field, I don't think they were wrong at all. In Stoegr, we already talked about him. He had to wait a little bit. I don't think he's going to improve his position. I think fourth was about as good as he was going to do. But he finished well. My boy Jack, he made a wide move. He had a little bit of trouble, which the closers are going to have some amount of trouble at the 20-horse field. You have to expect them. That has to be built into the price, which, by the way, my boy Jack, that deflated, ridiculous price. All those people named Jack, I really truly believe that's where
is that the money, Johnny? Do you think that's all there was to it? And the potential for a wet track, but the wet track storyline materialized on Friday.
Yeah, the money had already come. The first flash, and what is astounding to me, absolutely astounding, and I showed this to Will, and he's a numbers guy, but what astounds me is when they put like the, I don't know if it was a midday Friday flash they put on television, the prices, and of course my boy Jack was the one that completely jumped out at you, but I wrote them down. This was probably mid to late afternoon Friday, and I showed them to Will, and he looked at the curve. It's amazing how they don't change very much.
They don't change. No, for those that on see the early odds on Friday, you know, by 2-3 o'clock, those odds aren't going to move that much. They'll be a little bit. The high numbers might go a little higher. In this case, because of my boy Jack, this was the first chart we've had in years where we had 50, 60, 70, 80 to one shots, as many as there were. And for all that we were anticipating Gronkowski's arrival to negate the takeout, my boy Jack did an even better job of it.
It was something. And then when the wet track came up, I think you saw some money come in on some of the horses who either were going to like the track or had shown preference for an off track in addition to my boy Jack. So we had a little bit of movement in some cases for those kinds of horses. But overall, it's absolutely stunning that the odds could stay the same. So I was going through the list here. Ravazzo, as I went down the finishers, Ravazzo finished sixth. I would not have had him anywhere on my, while in Stoegr, there were some, I could see some reasons. He was still way down the list, my list, but there were some reasons. Ravazzo, I didn't see. Hofberg, what a race he ran. I really was impressed with his race. He had a troubled trip. He was blocked. He was bumped. He got outside. He finished pretty well. Lone Sailor, I already talked about him. I was happy with his trip. He had a rail run from the back of the pack. He was just not good enough. That's all to it. Vino Rossa, wide move, very wide, very wide. He had some difficulty from the back, but it wasn't extreme. He just had a wide move. Bolt Oro was very disappointing. Frenzy Fire, not bad, 11th. He split the field, which is not a bad effort. And I'm not going to go through everybody, but those are ones. And my point is, getting to the longer term, in the Preakness, looking at the possibles, probables for the Preakness, I would think that Justify should be very difficult to beat in the Preakness. The Belmont is going to be a little bit scary, because you're now, look, it's been incredible what Justify has done to get to win the Kentucky Derby. Incredible that he's jammed all this great effort into a short amount of time. Now he's got to come back in 2 weeks, do it again, and then 3 weeks after that. If this horse can do this, I think we're looking at something, and I'm not going to use the S word because I don't ever use that word in conjunction with a horse who's currently running, because it's the edge that stops them immediately. I'm not going to use the word. It stops them cold. But if he should be able to do this, so I think that the Belmont is going to be extremely interesting, because you've got horses in this Derby who we figured might like distance, might run well, talented deep horses, certainly not Good Magic. Audible?
The only Pletcher that's committed toward Belmont is Vino Rosso.
Okay, all right. He's going to appreciate the extra ground for sure. And if it's not, and they're not caked with mud, and it's the kind. Okay, and I'm going to keep going here. I'm going to tell you Hofburg. If I know Mott's kind of not decided, which is understandable. You got to watch these horses for a while. He would be one also who you'd be afraid of in the Belmont. You really have to take a look at these horses, because there could be threats. Now, I know the Belmont is usually or amazingly, well, speed is tough to beat in the Belmont. It really is, right? What were you going to say, Steve?
Well, there's a bigger – we'll wait till we talk with Baffert at 11:30. But, you know, there is concern about justified as it stands right now. And until he gets back onto the track, to be worrying about the Belmont is awfully premature, with the concern over what was an appearance yesterday morning that showed him to be favoring his left hind. And we need to get an update on that before we have to get to Baltimore before we do anything else.
Oh, well, never mind.
Thank you, Emily. Thank you, Miss Latella.
All right. So what else do you want to talk about?
Yeah, exactly. Let's put a pause on that until we get until I see you
at
Pimlico.
I told you the Belmont was going to be a problem for her.
Yeah. That's a fair assessment. There were so many, obviously, Johnny, the rest of the conversation that we had about this horse and about the major contenders coming in. When we look at what was accomplished, the wagering guide, for instance, I mean, you had four out of the six, and then you and Eddie Olchek, basically, what, more than that then? So six out of eight that had justified as the horse to beat, and then two others that had him second. Keying in on him and Good Magic, I really, that was the way you could get successful here. And when you look at these mutuals, $69.60 for the $2 exacta, that was a very nice number. And that $70.70 try for 50 cents was generous, considering you had three of the top five candidates, it seemed to me. I mean, particularly if you were against Mendelsohn, there was leverage to make money here. It still regard longest shot on the board fourth, but that's also part of the formula. Some thoughts on what kind of approaches everybody took.
Yeah, I'd have to say the guide was outstanding this year. You know, as far as picking winners and suggesting wagering strategies. Jeff Siegel, 30 to win, justify, is $100 based on $100 wagering strategy. Excuse me. Siegel had 30 to win, justify, $10 exacta, justify with Mendelsohn and Good Magic, so he hit a $10 exacta there in addition to the win wager. John White, 60 to win on Justify. Eddie O, 40 to win. 40 to win on Good Magic. He missed with that one, but then he had a $10 exacta box, Good Magic, Justify, and Audible, so he also hit a $10 exacta, and I agree with you about that exacta payoff. 69.60 is just very nice. And it gives you why Kentucky Derby time is the most wonderful time of the year. You're not going to get mutuals like that the rest of the year. And, of course, all credit to you, Steve, and the guide. You laid out a $2 try, which paid off. And, as you said, I listed the try also with a $1 try, and I kind of spread money out much more inefficiently than you did in your suggested try. But hats off to the people who worked on the guide. And, you know, I think I mentioned this Friday, aside from the wagering strategies, the analysis and the giving you the complete picture of the race, if you read each of the guide experts, if you read their analysis, you would have had a superb view of this year's Kentucky Derby.
Agreed. And I'm particularly proud that I hope that we assuaged some people from making what could be a tactical mistake, and that was, even if you were skeptical about Justify, I tried to drive home the point all last week that it didn't make any sense, given the versatility of the wagering menu, that you could protect. I didn't like Mendelsohn, but I protected. I used him. I wasn't crazy about Audible, but I used him prominently enough and defensively so that it paid off. You've got the ability to not like a horse's chances, but particularly with the small increment, pick threes, pick fours, whatever it is, the multi-day wagers, you could have protected and you could have done all right. I mean, particularly, for instance, if you had Yoshida, who was not, I didn't like Yoshida. I know that Marty McGee, actually, there were two horses that hurt me both days. Galton on Friday, the maker in the fourth on Friday, and Yoshida on Saturday. Marty had both of them on top, and I've got to talk to him, and he's going to be on with us Wednesday.
You mean to tell me the duck didn't hurt you?
The duck, I suppose, did, but I forgot about that, the start of the pick five, and I guess I just didn't worry about it at that point. The funny thing, when we talked to Rusty Arnold, last year I picked and loved Wild Shot. Now he shows up again with another Calumet, but this one was different. This wasn't just a turnback. This was a turf to dirt number, and it was the only thing you could come up with him was that, turf to dirt and route to sprint and cagey Rusty Arnold, but not easy.
Not easy at all. And when the duck won, my goose was cooked. That's just the way it turned out for me. I suppose I was trying to think. You heard about that woman that turned $18 into $1.2 million. And Will and I, the first story that came out didn't really make it clear. It almost sounded like she picked the superfecta. I mean, a super high five.
No, the pick five.
And it was a pick five, exactly. But the first thing came out sounded like it might have been a super high five. And I was like, no, that didn't pay. I couldn't figure it out. It was a pick five.
Twice. For a buck.
Twice. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Yep. Ooh. She had it for a buck. She Ooh. Must have gone, not necessarily in this order, but 3x3, x2, x1x1 for an $18, $1 ticket.
Right. Right. Wow. I remember retired trainer Gary Jones once said to me, he said, "You see that guy standing over there?" One of his owners was at the barn in the morning. And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I turned that man into a millionaire." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, he was a billionaire when he gave me his horses."
Yep.
Old story, but it worked.
Exactly.
I heard it a long time ago.
Johnny, we've got so much to figure out, and we'll be together in Baltimore at Pimlico, and we'll get ready for Preakness. And meanwhile, some final thoughts. Neil Drysdale is going to join me, and I'm looking forward to that. Then Rusty Arnold.
I'll tell you, final thoughts. I was happy to see looking at Lee and Sonnetier and McCracken on the Derby card. I think that was kind of, you know what it reminds me of, and it's not true, it reminds me of like an old-timers game before the, even though they're not old-timers, you understand what I'm saying, an alumni game before the current students play. That's what it reminded me of.
Well, Johnny, appreciate it. We'll regroup. We still got lots of I's to dot and T's to cross out of a huge weekend. It's always an overwhelming experience, made even more overwhelming by the conditions. But we hope that we get to see the next step, and hope this horse gets to keep going forward.
Yeah, I had heard about some kind of a skin rash or some inflammation. Mm. I didn't know that it was. It sounds worse than what I read.
Yeah, it's something. We'll talk to Baffert soon,
is never nothing.
Well put. Well, and you know, one of your maxims came into play more than once, which is any hiccup is more than a bump in the road. And for Bolt Doro, those missed weeks of training, whatever it was, you can go back to that long-standing belief that you've got, and that one should stay in everybody's Rolodex.
Invariably, when you interview the winning trainer after the Kentucky Derby, they say everything went perfectly all winter long.
Yep. Yep. Johnny?
Stevie?
There's no bad derbies, as we say.
This was a great one. This was a really, really nice horse. Really special. Special horse.
Yeah, until next time. And we'll be in, when are you coming to Baltimore? Usually your Wednesday?
I like to
Thursday.
Make it for the draw. I love the draw.
Alibi breakfast.
Have that little,
it's got to have fried chicken for breakfast.
Alibi breakfast, absolutely.
Fried chicken back on the menu.
I hope they return to the Colonel's original recipe.
Maryland fried chicken, not no. Yeah. Easy. Maryland style.
Well, yeah, but I mean, here's what I mean. The recipe was not the same as the old.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. All right.
We've got a new guy doing this. And I don't know, maybe we have a new guy this year. I don't know. I haven't handicapped the chicken yet.
I know. I just know the disappointment the year that you came and there fried chicken was not on the menu and you were desolate. It was an ugly scene.
It was crushed.
Johnny D, everybody. Johnny, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
I love it. Let's take a break. And Neil Drysdale is going to join us. And we were trying to get Neil to win Friday and Saturday. We were hoping that we'd be able to talk about Toinette and Madam Stripes. We'll have to satisfy ourselves with just the Toinette win. And I guess Toinette was this year. Well, we'll call, too. When we talk to Jay Privman, Jay can take the bow for will call, which he, when I asked him on Friday, give us a horse, you know you're betting beside Derby Oaks. And he delivered will call. But Toinette was the new face that bubbled to the surface, that maybe was from a workout, that turf work. She looked unbelievable. And that parlayed into a nice score in the Edgewood under Flavian Pratt. Neil Drysdale next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com performance plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by five.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania-bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a Grade 1 winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Cartery Flew Home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton 2-year-olds in training sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine Unlock and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.